This is a continuation of the questions and answers of Bodhicharya Avatara, chapter number 4. And now this will be question and answer number 4. The first one is, Dear Rinpoche, each year I am very happy to receive your wishes. I found your poem so inspiring. Usually in France, during the New Year Eve, the situation is difficult. People used to drink and fight. I don't think it is the right way to begin a new year. In this sea of pain and negative emotions, your message gives me so much hope and strength. Thank you so much. Here is my question. This year you said that we should celebrate the freedom of choice that we have. Last year you were also saying the same. So I guess this point must be very important. Could you please explain a bit more? Because freedom of choice is so natural and obvious that I do not really consider it as so worthy. I think many people, I think that when they are in a situation and they have no choice to act in a different way or react in a different way. But when we look a little bit more deeply and closely, you will find that there is many options. There are many options that you can choose how to live your life, and also many options on how to react to the situation that you are in. This needs to be reminded, I think, because when we really understand that, then we can become more responsible for ourselves. And we know that there is a choice, so therefore whatever choice we made it out of our own kind of will. Of course, some people are more fortunate than others. There are lots of places where there is less choice. And you live in a country which is democratic and very liberal, and the way you can choose how to live your life, how to do things, is, I think, much more than many of the countries and places in the world. So therefore, I think it is even more necessary, even it's more important that you have to appreciate this situation, and thereby do not feel completely kind of choiceless or completely, unfree. The way you should live your life, you should do your things, or you should react to them. I think that's the main understanding that I had. Actually, there was a story, maybe you have heard. There was one person, I think a Jewish person, who was in the kind of these camps during Nazi time in Germany or somewhere like there. And then he had to actually, kind of push the button to kill lots of people. And he was very, very unhappy and depressed because he thought that he had no choice. But one day, he found out suddenly in himself that actually what I'm doing is not out of, you know, completely no choice. I could choose. I could choose to do this, or I could choose to die. So therefore he felt that actually this is also my choice. So when he understood this, it is said that he felt much more kind of free than before. And then he started to plan how to run away from there. And then he actually succeeded to run away. And I think wrote a book about all these things. Then next question is, Dear Rinpoche, first of all, I would like to thank you for these teachings. I think there can never be a way in which I can express my gratitude for receiving them, except maybe through practicing them and devoting my life to them. Through these marvelous blessings with the online Sheda, you've placed me on the right path forever. As I said, I can never express my gratitude for that. Nevertheless, I thank you from the core of my being for your noble work. May it bring all beings to perfect enlightenment. Now I took a little break from studying, so I have started again from the beginning, and a few questions came up that I would like you your advice about. I hope I'm not taking up too much time and space here. My question is about the fact that I haven't formally taken refuge yet. Although as soon as I get a chance, I will. I recently moved to a pretty remote place and there are no Dharma centers nearby. So it isn't easy for me to get to a place where I can take refuge. I understand the importance of taking it formally, but I do take refuge at least every morning and evening. I do believe I have an understanding of refuge through your kind teachings, and I also finally have no returnable faith in the Dharma. Is this good enough for now? Will it make my practice less beneficial if I have not formally taken refuge? Does it actually make that big a difference? Make that big a difference in comparison to my personal aspiration and commitment of refuge? Would it be better for me to go to a city immediately to take formal refuge, so as to make the most of my practice? Would it be better for me to go to a city immediately? No. Also, is this personal refuge good enough to take the Bodhisattva vows for myself, or should I wait until I've formally taken refuge? I'm sorry to take up this much space for questions that may not be very important. Thank you for your kindness, dear Rinpoche. May we all be able to benefit beings as much as you do. Actually, it is said very clearly that if you take refuge, if you don't have a person like a monk or a upasaka or somebody from whom you can take refuge, with a ceremony of refuge anywhere, then it is allowed, it's possible, it is same if you take that same refuge by yourself in front of a representation of a Buddha, like an image, or if you can't find even that, then you can take refuge by visualizing or feeling the presence of the Buddhas in front of you. So therefore, when you take that you have actually taken refuge, and that is formally kind of same as you have taken refuge in a proper ceremony. So you have actually taken refuge. If you want, later on, you can take the refuge from, a lama or a person like that also, and then get all the things like a name and things like that. That's also possible, but actually you have taken refuge, and especially if you do the refuge every day, that's completely, same as you have already taken refuge. Now, is that the basis enough for taking the bodhisattva vows? I think it is, because when Buddha said, or when it is said very clearly that you can take refuge without another person from whom you take refuge, but that becomes like real taking refuge, then there's no reason why it cannot be a good basis of taking the bodhisattva vows. And it is also very clearly mentioned that you can take bodhisattva vows by yourself. If there's nobody from whom you can take the bodhisattva vows around you, where you can easily reach, then you can take the bodhisattva vows also, by visualizing, by feeling the presence of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in front of you, and take the bodhisattva vows, and that is a kind of valid bodhisattva vow. So I think you don't have to hurry, you don't have to feel that by practicing in this way, you are, kind of accumulating less positive deeds, or your practice is not good enough. I think it's not like that. So you can be confident about it. And of course, when the time comes, and when there are, right situations that you can take the refuge and bodhisattva vows from a kind of a genuine teacher, then you may do it that time. So these are the and then there is there are two comments. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's not necessary. But I think these are dohas of Thusan Chemba, Karmapa Thusan Chemba. Says, thank you. I appreciate this and look forward to the explanation of the dohas. And another one, Rinpoche, dear team, dear Bodhichaya team, nice to hear from you again and again. Thank you very much for your generosity in sharing these most compassionate and exciting stories. Me too, I look forward to listen and sing the dohas with you and Dharma friends everywhere in the world. With much love and excuses for communicating so little lately, I should put much more effort in applying the teachings on Bodhichaya Avatara and Bodhicitta in daily life and Dharma practice, and stop clinging to past romantic experiences and hoping for same experiences again and again, fearing bad experience in future. All the best to everyone. So thank you very much. That's the end of the questions and answer sessions this time. Thank you.